Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Links, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. Folks, there's nothing like a spoiler that can just ruin your day. So I've been watching Fuka, which is the sequel to the series Suzuka. Great show. I love the characters, the music, and its storytelling. However, I was warned by my friend Kai, who is actually working on the subtitles for the Crunchyroll broadcast, to not read the manga until the anime finishes airing. Jessica from Nerdy Show also gave me this warning, and so far, I've been very good at heeding to it. However, somebody on the Anime News Network forums had to spoil something, and I accidentally read it and I don't want to say what it was, but it legitimately bothered me. If you read the manga, you probably can guess what it was that gave me a bad case of the sads. A part of me is like hoping that they don't animate what I read. Like they don't actually get to that part, but it's obvious that it's going to happen because it apparently happens early on in the manga. And I don't know if I'm going to be prepared for it because it involves a great character, one that I'm sure will maybe be added to my collection if they ever make an android or plushie of them. So yeah, if you're like me and haven't read the manga and are just watching the anime version of Fuka, keep doing that until the run is over. Seriously, don't start reading it on the Crunchyroll manga app. It's a bad idea. Here, we're going to start a playlist now, so hopefully that'll distract you from doing that. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start things up with the J-pop trio known as Trisail, which is made up of popular voice actresses Sora Amamiya, Momo Asakura, and Shina Natsukawa. This is their latest single, which also serves as the opening theme to this season's Interviews with Monster Girls, one of our favorite shows this winter. This song is called Original.
Kimi no suteki original.
To Kitans with Rock and Roll Magic, the title track to their 2010 mini album. To coincide with this specific release, the Osaka-based punk rockers teamed up with the Machine Girl and Robot Geisha director Noboru Iguchi to create a time-traveling short film that was released with the mini album's limited edition. It's a very funny film, by the way. Definitely check it out if you can find it. So last week, the Grammy Awards happened, and yeah, I now remember why I stopped watching it. Granted, the A Tribe Called Quest performance was awesome, but everything else was either forgettable or just flat-out terrible. It seems to me that the Grammys have a problem with giving terrible artists the biggest awards. It was great when the likes of Arcade Fire, Beck, and Daft Punk walked away with the Album of the Year trophies, but these last couple years, it's just been fucking horrid. Last year, Taylor Swift won for 1989, even though that song Shake It Off a total ripoff of Cuckoo Kangaroo's Shake Your Foot. And this year, we had the most overrated singer on the planet, Adele, walk away with the Album of the Year award for her god-awful record, 25. By the way, Send My Love to Your New Lover? Also a ripoff, this time of Lords Royals? Anyways, I get that Adele sold a shit ton of records, but great record sales does not equate to good music. Shit, Justin Bieber was nominated for Album of the Year. Get that despicable thought stuck into that brain of yours. Honestly, out of everyone, Beyonce was the one who should have walked away with the top award. Lemonade was dope as fuck, you can't deny it. Look, I know I'm really sounding like a broken record, but if the Grammy Awards want to be taken a lot more seriously, they need to take a look at something like Canada's Polaris Prize or the UK's Mercury Prize. These are awards that give their award to the best album strictly on artistic merits. The Polaris Prize has been given to the likes of Fucked Up, Godspeed You Black Emperor, Arcade Fire, and Feist. Meanwhile, the Mercury Prize has been awarded to Primal Scream, Portishead, Dizzy Rascal, and Arctic Monkeys, just to name a few. And you know, outside of Arcade Fire, Feist, and Arctic Monkeys, the rest of these artists have sadly never reached mainstream status. And yet the industry and critics that voted chose them. Although you could debate with me regarding how popular Primal Scream is, I never heard of the band until I did an interview with Detroit 7 back in 2008. But perhaps it's time we give the Grammys a well-needed overhaul. Let's not award those who sold the most records, but rather, whose music that year turned people's heads and actually made a dent in the art form. If I had my way, the nominations for Album of the Year would have been more in the vein of Beyonce, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Iggy Pop, Baby Metal, and probably De La Soul. A good mixture of mainstream and critically acclaimed picks. Odds are Beyonce might have walked away if these were the nominations, though one can only dream of seeing someone like Nick Cave get up there on stage to accept a well-deserved Album of the Year award. At any rate, I think we can all agree that if the Grammys don't stop giving their awards to talentless hacks, it'll never rid itself of that title of the laughingstock of the awards circle. Just my two cents. By the way, there is such a thing as awards for most sold records. They're called the gold and platinum records, and you earn them by making those sorts of sales. You shouldn't earn Grammys for the sales. My opinion. Anyways, let's put on a couple more tracks. Coming up, we've got a collaboration with British-Danish duo Perpacity and electronica artist DVL. They've teamed up on a new album called Convergence, and this is the opening track from that record. It's called Late Serenity.
To pieces of nothingness, I'll never live again. to the ceiling of heaven there, spiral down again.
Safe inside the flame. We'll
Bloodthirsty Butchers with Yamaha One from 2005's Banging the Drum record. The band has been on hiatus since the death of frontman Hideki Yoshimura, but have been re-releasing much of their out-of-print discography as of late. Kokorona was the most recent one to be reissued back in October. The X-Men universe returns to television in a bold fashion with the new FX series Legion, focusing on the character of David Haller, the son of Professor Charles Xavier. The show's first two episodes deal with David realizing that his schizophrenia is something entirely different. Something more in the vein of mutant-like. After an incident in a mental hospital, David finds himself interrogated by government officials before his girlfriend, Syd Barrett, and her mutant friends break him out and take him to where they reside. There, he meets Melanie Byrd, who promises to help David unlock his potential, honing in on his powers to become the world's most powerful being. Unlike many of Marvel's TV and movie series, Legion takes a strange trip with its storytelling arc, jumping back and forth between past and present, reality and fantasy, and much more other means. The series basically puts us into the perspective of David as moments and emotions flash before him. Because of this, the narrative can get rather complicated at times. However, I feel that this means of storytelling helps to put ourselves into David's shoes and experience these changes and realizations the same way he does. It's no lie that Legion can be somewhat confusing, but it's quite enjoyable on many occasions. It brings to mind in some ways the Kagero Days light novel series, or Mikaku City Actors as the anime was called. The storytelling is kind of whack, but its overall presentation makes it worth experiencing. Like Kagero Days, the deeper you dive into the story, the more likely you'll find answers that you're looking for popping up somewhere near the end of the line. And if you're familiar with the character Legion, you may already know some of these answers to begin with. The acting has been pretty great thus far, with Dan Stevens doing a fine job balancing the crazy and calm as David, and Rachel Keller bringing a level of strange stability as Syd. Kudos to Aubrey Plaza as a strange friend Lenny who keeps popping up in David's life. The rest of the cast has been pretty good too, but there hasn't been enough screen time for them to give individual ratings to. Nevertheless, I'm really liking where they're going with Legion, and I'm curious to see how they plan to intertwine with the X-Men cinematic universe. By the way, despite it being a superhero show, it ain't for kids. It earns that TVMA rating it's been given. You can catch Legion on FX on Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. If you haven't started watching it, you can catch up on demand or on FX's official website. It's definitely quite the mindfuck, so be sure you're in a very focused mentality before you sit down and start viewing it. Here's a little Stance Punks for you, who are currently in the midst of a winter tour in Japan. From their Bump 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 EP, this is Usotsuki Cherry. Yoru no maho, kino no tsumi, ame agari.
Oh, baby. 番少し気に入らない、君の小さな胸のずっとずっと奥のあるんだぜ、キラキラの心臓が。最初と最後のかけらは一枚の絵みたい。してから気がつくバカな僕のために、チェリー嘘つきのチェリ
People make out joyfully, it's wasted. I feel the weight of the needles repeat and sigh. Sang my weight in metric trash, trip the line in Saturn's embrace. And you give up with some local girl while our lights blot out fade.
Talented Nico Case with Local Girl off of her album The Worst Things Get, The Harder I Fight. The harder I fight, the more I love you. Nico will be heard once again on the new album from the New Pornographers coming out this April entitled Whiteout Conditions. Can't wait for that one. As you are very well aware, one of my favorite game series has to be Senran Kagura, for obvious reasons. Fine gameplay, great stories, kick-ass multiplayer, and, well, you know what else is in that game. I, of course, gave 2016's Estival Versus the number 5 spot for the best games of that year, praising its mechanics and overall fun. Well, as some of you are well aware, there is a new Senran Kagura game coming out next month in Japan called Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash. A new trailer came out a couple days back, which you can find posted on the Boston Bass Brigade's Facebook page, and I gotta tell ya, Peach Beach Splash looks like crazy fun! It's basically an M-rated Splatoon, so those Call of Duty fanboys who thought that game was too kiddy can now shut the fuck up and embrace these cute anime girls spraying each other hardcore styled. Probably should have raised that better. Anyways, the Shinobi are now packing some insane water guns like twin pistols, sniper rifles, Gatling guns, and even bazookas. And while there appears to be no swords or katanas, I swear, I thought I saw one of the characters beat up another with a pool noodle, which I wouldn't be too surprised if that was in it. Unlike in Estival Versus, this one also appears to have some very unique boss battles involving giant robots, monsters, and a naked Riona suffering from a case of giantism. There's also the finishers the game has, which, that's all I'm gonna say about that. Now, there are a couple things I'm still curious about regarding Peach Beach Splash. There's apparently a card system which looks to give the characters their weapons and helper characters. I'm wondering how one earns these and if they can be implemented into the game's online multiplayer mode. Then there is, of course, what they're planning to do with PlayStation VR. I can only imagine what they could cook up for that in regards to the more fan servicey aspects of the game. Sorry. Japan doesn't have to wait too long, as Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash hits store shelves over there on March 16th. No word yet on when it's supposed to be coming west, but it's already in its planning stages. Here's hoping it'll be later this year, because I might get a little too impatient and wind up importing this. And I wonder if the Fleming Brothers would go third Z's on it. I should ask them that when we record the next week in anime. Maybe next week you'll hear their response. Anyways, I'm stoked. Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash hitting Japan next month, hopefully later this year in America. It is the multiplayer shooter I think we all deserve. Let's return to this week's playlist. We've got a little Lolita number 18 in store for you with a song from their I Won't Give Up record. This one is called You Are the Weapon. What?
Fight.
From their 2001 album Spike, that was Puffy AmiYumi with Puffy's Rule. Duo will be heading back to the U.S. next month, which will also include a stop at this year's Anime Boston. And speaking of Anime Boston, I, for one, am getting really pumped up for this year's event. I know I should focus some of my energy on PAX East, which is happening beforehand in a couple more weeks, but Anime Boston 2017 has been knocking it out of the ballpark when it comes to the guest announcements. Besides Puffy AmiYumi, we've also got Rockers Okamoto's performing that weekend, which is amazing because seeing them go from a small indie band playing on the Japan Night Tour in 2010 to big mainstream in Japan is just straight up phenomenal. It's like when the Black Keys first came to Boston in 2003, playing at the sadly defunct TT the Bears, which is where Japan Night used to reside, and now seeing them sell out the TD Garden. Then we've got the director of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Naokatsu Suda, joining the foray, one of the biggest anime and manga franchises of all time. And there's a good chance that he could drop news of when the fifth arc, Vento Oraro, will be unleashed to the public. Now that would be pretty exciting. And we've also got the legendary Toro Fuyura coming down, who tossed roses as Sailor Moon's main squeeze tuxedo mask and died quite a lot as Yamcha in the Dragon Ball series. For American guests, we've got the return of one of our favorite voice actresses, Brina Palencia, who has brought a new ray of life to such roles as Ciel in Black Butler, Tamama in Sergeant Frog, Hideyoshi in Baka and Test, and Holo in Spice and Wolf. Considering she's dubbing the live-action version of Black Butler, I'm curious to see if there was a difference in challenges when it comes to dubbing a similar character, not the same mind you, in a cinematic live-action setting rather than an animated one. I'm extra stoked about Johnny Young Bosch, who first came into my life as the second Black Power Ranger Adam Park. But he's also Vash the Stampede, Kaneda, Lelouch, Isaiah, Renton, all these characters I've loved for years. But see, it just so happens to front a really good rock band called Eyeshine, so hopefully he'll talk about what's happening in the studio. Michelle Ruff is also coming along, who's voiced many of the most memorable women in anime. Fujiko in Lupin the Third, Yoko in Gurren Lagann, Nagato in the Haruhi Suzumiya series, Rukia in Bleach, and Luna in Sailor Moon. We've also got Sandy Fox, who brought a good level of adorableness to the tiny robot Sumomo in Chobits, Chibi Usa in Sailor Moon, and Flone in the Disgaea video game series. There's also Lex Lang, aka Goemon, in the Lupin the Third series, Kizuki in Fate Stay Night, and the Fire Lord Solzin in Avatar The Last Airbender. And just as I was about to start recording this episode, two more American guests were added to this list. First, there's Kyle Colby Jones, who's done a lot of great behind-the-scenes stuff on the dubs for Fullmetal Panic, Akami Ga Kill, Parasite, and Air Gear. Lastly, there's Bryson Bogus, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, who's a newcomer to the voice acting realm. You'll be able to hear him very soon as the voice of Belle Crannell in Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in the Dungeon? Which the answer to that question is no, it's not wrong. I've heard clips and he fits well into that role. So yeah, there's a lot of great people coming to Anime Boston this year, and odds are there will be a couple more announced before the event hits the Hines on March 31st to April 2nd. Myself, our buddies over at Wicked Anime, 42 Believer, and Nerd Craver all looking forward to checking out this year's festivities. Whatever else is in store for the con, we can certainly bet it's going to lead to some fun. Alright, let's spin a couple more tracks. Fans of Queens of the Stone Age are getting excited over the band's upcoming new album, but many people still bug Josh Homme about this little side project of his known as Desert Sessions. Homme mentioned in 2014 that it might return, but as of now, it still seems to be up in the air. This is a song from the long out-of-print 7th and 8th volumes of the project, and it's called Up in Hell. Thank you.
have a ball of cucumber cocoon stand. So yes, I could have people time to function. But here they understand reality. Said this is 96, I feel left 90 forever. Yes, all the people left up behind. The second is a little to the rule while we sing right.
Miles with Fighting on Arrival from the album Revolution Is My Name. This is the reggae side project of Yoshiaki Manabe, the guitarist for The Pillows. The Pillows, of course, will be dropping a new album next month called Nook in the Brain. Can't wait to hear that one. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at kingbabyduckesh, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/omitmysteryinc. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and on facebook.com/landofesh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashbrook, and Nerd Crave. Special thanks to Perpacity's Martin Europe for sending down his duo's collaboration with DVL. Always appreciate hearing new artists from across the world. Today we're going to end things off with a group of dragon girls. That's right, it's the cast of this year's runaway comedy hit, Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, with a B-side from the show's closing theme single. Here are Yuki Kuwahara, Maria Naganawa, Yuki Takeda, and Minami Takahashi with the song A Day in the Dragon's Light. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.
Bye. Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.